All right, brothers and sisters, tonight the Lord is, I shouldn't say maybe tonight, might be next week as well too. I can't imagine we'll get together again next week. I believe the Lord's coming soon. How about you? But, you know, His grace continues to abound, and it's just His grace that's getting us ready. So we're redeeming the time, and we're thankful to Him for His faithfulness. But tonight we're going to begin a study. The Lord's put up on my heart on the seraphim, the cherubim, the four living ones, and the four beasts. And I think, as most of you know, that's all the same thing. And praise be to God, we have four different names, but it's all the same body. And by His grace, we're going to study through this, and we'll see that it's all the same bride. And the four living ones or the four beasts, whether it's the Old Testament or the New, the meaning is the same in the Greek or the Hebrew. And it means alive. Them that are alive. Quickened. Ready. Awake. Waiting. Longing. Loving His appearing. There's an excitement going on in this company. And by the grace of God, I think the Lord has opened up some things for me, and I believe for us is in getting into this study. I know it'll be a refresher for many things, but I am confident that the light grows brighter. It shines brighter all the time because He's opening our hearts. He's given us more time to draw breath for His glory to come in. But tonight, I want to hone in on the name, the four beasts, or the four living creatures that are in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. So if you'd turn there with me, we're going to Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. And as we begin, this is the Apostle John taken in spirit. And for many of you, I know that you'll recall the last study that we had in the book of Revelation, that John is taken in spirit into the future. He's here on the Lord's day. The first trump has just sounded, and he begins to describe the things that are revealed to him as he's taken into the future, into heaven, and the Lord begins to show and speak to this dear brother. So let's go ahead and read chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And see, this is the wonderful Lord. It's not hard for Him to open heaven or close it, shut it up, open, doesn't really matter. When Enoch was ready, He was ready to take him, whether it was Elijah. So that's why I want to make sure that we always understand that, you know, nothing's hard for God. And this is Christ Jesus. And let me tell you something, He does have the keys here, and He can open this up at any time. And I believe He's going to open it up here shortly. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. So there's that wonderful trumpet. We rejoiced in that a little bit last week. We see this same trumpet, the first trump there in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And it said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And I want to just stop here for just a moment and just think about this. Here we are in the throne room, right in the throne room of God. And this is where John has been taken, and I believe by the grace of God, but by the Spirit, we're taken there too in His wonderful word. And we see this vision that he has here, and we see this vision is Jasper Sardin one that is sitting on the throne. And by the grace of God, we know that the Spirit reveals to us that this is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. And we know this through Scripture, because we know that when the trump sounds, the bride is captured away. And at that time, Jesus Christ is going to begin the time that He'll be taking His throne and moving on to the throne as God. Now, a little further on this is, how do we know that this is Christ Jesus? Well, first of all, it speaks there of the jasper. The jasper speaks of the diamond. And that diamond is the most valuable. It's made to be prominent. And I have to think about, it's no coincidence that the bride seen in Revelation 21:11, she's also referred to as the jasper. The only company that's seen is the jasper there, and that is the bride of Christ. And you think that she's like him. She is in his very image. His glory has made her that way, and how prominent he makes her. And isn't that wonderful? I just think of how Jesus Christ reveals himself in her. She's ready. She is like him. She has grown up into his image in every way. Now, it goes on to say sardin here. The sardin stone speaks of red or flesh. Jesus Christ, we know, is very God of very God. But we also know very man of very man. And only Jesus Christ could take that place. The Lamb of God. Isn't that wonderful? And then we see the rainbow. This is God's promise to Noah that the earth would never be destroyed again by water. And this is speaking of the ultimate victory of his kingdom. And then finally we have the emerald. And the emerald speaks of life out of death, or the everlasting result of the resurrection. And I think it's important that we do speak of those few things before we start here in looking at these different companies that are in heaven at these different times. And the reason is because we're right in the midst of the throne room. We have to get the vision and the perspective right, that by the grace of God, when that trump sounds, oh my goodness, into the throne room. Isn't that going to be wonderful, where we catch this vision of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Now, I do want to emphasize before we go on that everything in the Word of God, and this is going to be like a no duh to you, I understand that, but everything in the Word of God has meaning and purpose. It does. Everything. Every word, how it's arranged. And what I'm getting at here is, as we go forward, we're going to see different companies or different groups of people in heaven. And we're going to see them there at different times. And we're going to see them in different places in heaven. And we're going to see them carrying on and doing different things in heaven. So let's go ahead and read verse 4. And this is the very first company, as most of you know, this is the very first company that is seen in heaven upon this trump. And again, as we rejoiced last week, on the beginning of the Lord's day. And round about the throne, this is verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats, or that word there is throne. So there's 24 thrones around the throne. And upon the seats, or upon the thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting, or 24 of them, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And so here we have this group of 24, and I want to take a moment here and want to highlight, even though this study truly is about the four living ones, I think it's important to bring into context the beauties of this 24 elder company. But at the same time, as we start to note the beauty of the 24 elder company, I do want to make certain that this company does not attain to the glory or to the jointly ruling and reigning as does the four beasts, which we'll get to in just a moment. And I know for some this might seem that maybe this is driving home a point. This isn't to drive home a point. This is to rejoice in the light that the Lord has given us. Do you rejoice in the Word of God? I rejoice in the Word of God. And I'm thankful when the Lord just continues to show more light upon the light. And it gets brighter and it gets more glorious. And He brings us into things. The truth is the truth. We understand that. But let me tell you something. We will never even scratch the surface on exactly the depth or any of the width or the height and all of those different things that the Word of God has for us. But we are here to receive of Him. And that's when I was studying this. The Lord just encouraged my heart. Son, you need to bring this out. But the 24 elders, I do want to begin with this. They're mentioned 6 times in the book of Revelation. And they're only mentioned in Revelation. Whereas the four beasts that we're going to speak of here in a minute, they're referenced in 11 times in the book of Revelation. And then 6 times as wife or bride. But then, even in the Old Testament, it's even more tremendous. The four living ones, or the seraphim, or this cherubim, they're mentioned over 100 in 100 verses and in 11 books. Over 100 verses in 11 books throughout the Old Testament. But there's not one mention of the 24 elders, except that they're seen in a type in the Levitical priests. And I think that's important. The Lord is trying to tell us something. There's an emphasis going on here, and the emphasis is on the living ones. The emphasis is on the ones that we're going to read about in a minute that are in the midst of the throne. Now, the number 24 is the number of the priesthood. It's the number of the priestly ministry before the throne of God. Now, we know in reading Leviticus and throughout the Old Testament that the Levites were the keepers of the tabernacle and all of the events that went on and the sacrifices, etc., etc. But I want you to notice in verse 4 that we just read of the fourth chapter of Revelation, the words round about. The words round about are very important, and they're very important for this because you go back through the Old Testament and round about is continuing and continues to follow this priesthood or these 24 elders as it's speaking of here. And I'll give you a couple examples. In Leviticus chapter 1, verse 11, you can turn there if you like or just write these down. There's going to be quite a few verses here. Thank the Lord for CDs, tapes, and the internet. So you can go back through this, and God willing, I might be able to give you a little bit of the notes as well, too, if you'd like these for yourself. But in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 11, it says that the priests, or Aaron's sons, were instructed to sprinkle the blood round about the altar. And then in Numbers chapter 1, verse 50, the tribe of Levi was instructed to camp around or round about the tabernacle. So everything with this priestly tribe was always round about. Whether it was round about the altar, round about the tabernacle, it was round about. Everything regarding them, again, with the priests, the plural priests in the Old Testament, was round about. A precious place, so near the throne, but never in the midst of the throne. And that's very important to understand. It's very important for the place that Jesus Christ is offering us today. The only time that the high priest, and notice now it goes from priests or 24 elders to a priest singular. The only time that the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies was once a year, and that was as the Christ-type atonement with the blood for the sacrifice of sin. Whereas the cherubim, which we will get to, but I have to mention this, which is another name for the four beasts, resided in the Holy of Holies. They were part of the Holy of Holies. They never left the Holy of Holies. That was their place to dwell. I think another sweet thing to think of there, the cherubim is always seen in the throne. The cherubim is never seen in thrones. It's only one throne. And then in 2 Chronicles 5, 7, the most holy place, it says, is under the wings of the cherubim. And that's exactly where the ark sat, the very presence of God. It says the Lord dwelt, the Lord of hosts dwelt between the cherubims. In Ezekiel 10:1, we see that Christ is the head over the cherubim. You have Christ sitting there over the cherubim, and it's as if Christ the head and the cherubims the body, and obviously they are one. And where are they seen again? They are seen in the throne. That's their relationship. The king and the queen has taken the place of the throne. And it's hard not to jump ahead. I'm sorry to say that. But by the grace of God, we'll get to this cherubim. And I think you get the point here. But the depth of it is just so magnificent. It's so wonderful. And again, these are such a wonderful, glorious type and a shadow of what Christ has for his wondrous bride, and to think that that's being offered to the likes of you and me. And I sit there, my goodness, Lord, we're going to find out that he was speaking of this cherubim way back in Genesis, guarding the very entrance of Eden. I mean, that wonderful bride, that type, that shadow, has been with him, in a sense, throughout. It's been on his mind, it's been on his heart. She's everywhere. She's in all of these things. And when we get into the study, even tonight, you're going to see the omnipresence of her and how it's not just one activity that she's doing by the grace of God. She's with him in rejoicing. She's with him in worship. She's over there delving out judgment But at the same time, she's right there in the midst of the throne, this omnipresent, just like Christ Jesus himself. She has a glorious body like unto his own. We gonna go? Come on now. It's so wonderful. It's so awesome. And I'm so thankful that I'm just simple enough to believe it. What do you think? Amen. Faith like a child. We'll get there. You just have to believe it. That doesn't mean a child is in ignorance. It's called just believing God. And we do need to believe God. And we need to believe him in the greatest way because how he's dealing. But back to these 24 elders. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 10. It says there, let's go ahead and read that together. Is that in the 10th verse? No, that's not in the... Yes, it is in the 10th verse. The 24 elders fall down before him, and sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne. Okay, now I want to make a distinction here. Is that that's the 24 elders that do that, brothers and sisters. That's not the four living ones. Those are the 24 elders. And I believe that that's a vital difference as well, too. When the Bible tells us, and it takes very good time and space and wording to tell us whenever the 24 elders are doing something with the four living ones, it does. And then when they're doing something separately, it tells us very clearly again. And this tells us very clearly that this is the 24 elders that do this. And it's a wonderful thing. I think it's an incredible gesture. It shows the humility. It shows the thankfulness. It shows the, in a sense, Lord, I understand that I'm unworthy to even be here, let alone wear a crown. And I'm thankful for that. And brothers and sisters, we have to have that type of a spirit in our hearts to understand, you know what? There's no way that I could have ever approached the throne. There was no merit in my goodness to ever merit anything from God. It had to be the blood. It had to be grace that brought us there. Amen? Amen. So this is a precious, wonderful revelation. But I want to make very certain you do not see this by the four beasts. They do not cast their crowns. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I've never seen a bride, at least a happy bride, ever cast her wedding ring at her husband. How about you? There'd be something wrong. The crown that he has given us is a crown that we hold fast, that no man take. And by the grace of God, it's going to be a crown that I'll wear with him. It's the righteous crown for glory by his grace. It's a crown that won't come off. It's a crown that she reveres all because of his love for her. The king loves her. The queen does not lay down her crown. It does not happen. Revelation 5:10. Let's go on. Shows us there that the 24 elders and the four beasts sing together. And the song that they sing, or the words I should say, it says that thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now we understand that this is talking about a host of priests or a kingdom of priests, and that's a precious insight as well too to this verse. But I think that the Lord is emphasizing a continuing thought here to us as well. Sure, they're both singing together the song of the overcomer. That's what they're singing together. These are the Old Testaments and the overcomers in the Old Testament. These are the overcomers in the New Testament. And they're the full overcomers. They took the best that Christ had to offer in that age. And it is wonderful. And there is a similar rejoicing that both of these companies have. But I do want to make known here that just because you can sing a song together, the meaning of the song can be vastly different. I hope you understand that. And I think that there is a difference here, and I believe the Lord is bringing this out. The priests speak of service, or the carrying out of God's order. It's wonderful that the Levites were able to do the ministry that they did. But make no doubt, the 24 elders will not rule and reign jointly with Jesus Christ. You never see that throughout Revelation. It is specifically left to the four living ones. They will execute some judgment. They will have a certain reign that they will do, but there will not be a joint reigning as the kings in this psalm. Brothers and sisters, when the Lord in Ephesians chapter 3, and I'll have you write these down, in Ephesians 3, 3 through 5, in Hebrews 11, 39 and 40, and in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, he says basically they're the same thing, that there was a mystery that was kept from the prophets and from the Son of Man and from the angels. And you know what? When he tells you that, he meant just that. It was kept from them. Daniel wanted to look into these things, did he not? He spoke of wonderful things. God allowed him to write of things that would happen, of the events, of the beautiful event of the coming of the Lord, of the judgment, of the wonderful tribulation, the millennium to come, all of those things. But then Daniel wanted to look in further. He was given things to start to see about the bride of Christ. But God closed the book up. Now let me tell you something. We live in an age where the veil is rent in twain. We can go fully in there. And praise be to God, he gave us a type that the cherubim was right there in the midst of that altar all the time. It was right there with the ark. And praise be to God, that's fulfilled now in this age. That veil being rent, we go right into the midst of it. By the Spirit, brothers and sisters. Eye has not seen nor ear has heard. We understand that. But by the Spirit. It's so wonderful. It's so precious what God is revealing. And we happen to live in that age. God help us to ever say, oh, if I was only born back then. I remember how many times I used to say that. It would have been so much easier. Well, maybe so. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I want this. I want this. I'm starting to see what he has here and how precious it is. It isn't about trying to live life in the 21st century, brothers and sisters. It isn't. It's about letting God live in us for the coming of the Lord to be his bride. That's what we live in. This time doesn't mean anything. It doesn't. This, in a sense, earth and this world and all of it has to offer doesn't mean anything. It's what God is bringing. And that was the same thing back then. Whether it was to Moses or to a Daniel or to David or to Ruth or to Esther, it was about the things of the Lord. It was. And they had a heart for God. They had a vision of what the Lord wanted to bring into their lives. Praise be to God. So we live in this wonderful bridal calling, which is called the church age. Now, finishing up on these 24 elders. It's so wonderful because they are the worthies of faith in the Old Testament that are found in the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews 11. Matthew 27:52 tells us that these are the ones that received a better resurrection. And some of the graves, it says, the full overcomer graves, were opened up at that time and they ascended up on high with Jesus Christ. They are the clouds. I do believe that it's a wonderful type. They are the clouds seen in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, that joyfully watch as the bride comes to meet him in the air. Isn't that wonderful that they get to observe that time and that glorious moment when Jesus Christ catches his bride away? But they certainly are not the hold that fast which thou hast company. They're certainly not the loving his appearing company. And they certainly are not the ones that without them are not made perfect company that you find in 1140. Brothers and sisters, simply, they certainly are not the bridal company. And finally, in Revelation chapter 11 and 19, it reveals the 24 elders continuing so sweetly to worship. And they worship even with the four living ones, brothers and sisters. They worship with that company. But again, there is no ruling and reigning jointly with Christ Jesus, as we now will go on to rejoice in the four beasts, the four living ones, the cherubims, or the seraphims. And I hope that that might lay some of it out. I know that it was quick, and it looks like your hair's been blown back pretty good. But I believe that most of you have gone over those things. And most of you have seen those things. But lest we forget those things. Those are glorious things. Those are wonderful things. I glory in my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm thankful for the testimony of the grace of God and those that ran to what they could attain in the Old Testament to show me, by the grace of God, that I can run to attain the things that are set before me in this day and age, and that it is worth it all, and that even if I am the Jeremiah, it's going to be worth it all. That even if God has a plan for me to be a Joseph and set me in the middle of Egypt, in the den, basically, of Satan's relatives. But if that's His plan for me, it is well. And it is worth it. And the promises of God never fail. And you may think, oh my goodness, God has forgotten about me. And I'm telling you, He didn't. And don't insult Him. And believe Him at His word. When He said, I remain faithful. Faithful to the end. Never to be separated from my love. I'm thankful that I can read about the lives of my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I can find pretty much any and every type of trial in their lives. Whether it was illnesses, whether it was isolation, whether it was with their children, whether it was with their families, whether it was with jobs or as a slave or whatever it would be. And you know what? God is still faithful. And by faith, they inherited, didn't they? And by faith, brothers and sisters, we will inherit. And we live in the greatest time of faith that's ever been poured out to receive. Because think of the love, or the faith that worketh by love. We live in a time of a Holy Spirit time that takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in our heart. They lived in a time where the Holy Spirit would come upon them to move them. We live in a time where the Holy Spirit comes within to dwell. It's marvelous. It's marvelous. It's amazing. The power, the very power of His might. It's ours. We have this by the grace of God. And we can yield to that. And we can set before that wonderful Spirit and be taught of the mighty love of God. And let me tell you something. To be His bride, well, it's beyond mighty. It's beyond incredible. It's beyond wonderful. And again, I think, the likes of you and me. See, that's the spirit of casting a crown. But yet I know, oh no, Lord, by grace I'm holding it fast. How about you? Amen? Amen. All right. Let's get on back now into Revelation chapter 4. And we'll pick it up from the 6th verse. And now we'll head into, I believe, the heart and meat of the study here for the next couple weeks of these four living ones. Verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, the center, right in it. And it's a throne. It's not a thrones, it's a throne. And round about the throne were four beasts, or four living ones, four living creatures, full of eyes, before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion. And the second beast was like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man. And you notice there, it's not like anymore, is it? It's had a face. Notice the difference? As a man, not like a man. These are people. We know that. We know that these are redeemed souls. But words mean something. Always do. And let me tell you something. The words in the Word of God really mean something. But the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Praise the Lord. So, now, we're going to see, and it already has happened, there's so much more detail, isn't there, than the 24 elders. There's so much more description, and we're going to see that there's so much more glorying over and in and given upon this four beast company. But first notice here, in the midst of the throne. Isn't that wonderful? In the midst of the throne. You know, they're a rejoicing body. They're rejoicing in the midst of the throne. I think it's precious, though, if you see that even after in the midst of the throne, they're also seen round about the throne. And I kind of already mentioned this. We'll go through the Word of God here, and they're in the midst of the throne. They're round about the throne. They're delving out the vials to go out for the wrath of God. And then they're over there with the body saying, the bride come, and the spirits say come. And let me tell you something, this wonderful body is all over the place. Glory is all over the place. Omnipresent. She's like Him. She's just like Him. It's wonderful how God has made her. And you think about this. See, this is just, again, the believing and the love that we're experiencing right now. You say, well, how am I ever going to be like that? Well, He does that. How did you even get to the point that you're praising Him on a Wednesday night? You're coming to a Bible study. Because He did it. We'll always be His workmanship. Isn't that wonderful? A glorified body likened to His own body. I had nothing to do with that. I'm going to have it though. In every way. When I see Him, I'm going to be like Him. Now how am I going to do that? I'm not. It's all His doing. And it's the same thing. It's all by grace. And God's in the work of grace. And in the ages to come, He'll show forth the exceeding riches of His grace to usward who believe. Isn't that what? And His kindness. And I love that too. So it's even like it's got all of this cake and icing, and then the cherries come up as well too. Because the love of God just continues to reach, and it's so wonderful what He's doing. I think it's so descriptive. It's so wonderful. You know, we've talked about love letters before. And any of us that have ever received them in somebody that we really loved and cared for, man, you really went over it. Well, what are they really trying to say? Oh, I bet they meant a lot more than that. See, with the Lord, you don't have to do that. He does. He means more than what you could ever even imagine, whatever you could think. And the only way you even start to receive how much He loves you is by the Spirit. This can't be discerned up here. This isn't just a class. Well, we're going through verse by verse, and here we go. And it doesn't work that way. We do take it line upon line, and we do take it verse upon verse. But it has to be the Holy Spirit that opens the heart for us to receive it. It's a gift all the way. Thank God that we're willing. That's all He asked us. Are you willing? If you're willing, I take care of everything. And even if you're not, I'm going to convict you till you're willing. He's a wonderful God. I've been there. I'm looking at faces, and every single one of you have been there too. And you know what? We'll be there again. Because we're human. Sometimes we have some peaks and troughs and all of those different things. But I'm so grateful to God that even, you know, you might be somewhere down a little bit low, you can still be looking up. You can still be looking up. And that's the beauty of it all. You know He's coming. It's just short time. Seems like long time sometimes, but it's just a vapor. And no matter how you cut it, I don't care. You're going to see Him soon. You're going to see Him soon. So praise be to God. We have that wondrous hope, and we know that that hope is sure in Him. But as we go on here, this rejoicing is continuing on. It's wonderful. We see the very midst of the throne. We see how wondrous that God has made this wonderful body to be kind of omnipresent in many things. But noticed here, it says next that we grow up into Him in all things. And you say, well, it doesn't say that there. And I say, oh, yes, it does. We grow up into Him in all things. And how do we say this? Because we're like this bride. By grace we attain, we will be like Jesus in every way. The four Gospels are woven into this body. Oh yes, the four Gospels are woven in here. The four Gospels which reveal perfectly our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, and wait a second, how do we know? Because one was like the lion. The next one was like the calf. And here we go. Matthew, the lion. Mark, the calf. Luke, the man. John the eagle. That's exactly those visions of how our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was seen by each one of those writers of the gospel. And it's so precious because that's exactly who the bride is. She is like him. It just happens. We see people, by the grace of God, brothers and sisters, that are growing up in Christ Jesus. I see you, but you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing Christ Jesus in you more and more. That's the beautiful thing. I speak of the testimony of that one brother who came in the church and he was trying to remember everybody's name. And it was just so striking and so absolutely sovereign to my heart when he said, I was meeting so many people I just didn't know, but then there was this one lady, she was across the way, and I never got her name, but I just wrote down Jesus Lady. She was Jesus Lady because she glowed like him. It was awesome. Well, praise be to God. That's his work. And that, by the grace of God, is who this company is and these saints that shine like Jesus Christ himself. Because it's not them, it's the glory of God in them, isn't it? Isn't that what it is? They've received so much glory they can't help but radiate the things of God. It's just there. It's just who she is. And what Christ is preaching here is it really is. It's just who we are. But are we going to allow it? Are we going to live who we are? Are we going to keep living a life of deception? The person I'm not. I'm righteous and holy. And the Lord wants me to grow up in that and to shine forth how radiant His life is. Amen. To receive it all, not just bits and pieces, but all the fullness of God. And that's why this is so mighty, because all the fullness of God is in His Son. And all the fullness of God shines within this bride. She's the revelation of the wonderful life of Jesus Christ, His love, His grace. Everything is flowing through that wonderful body, His bride. Now, going on, the six wings, and we'll hit on that a little bit more even next week, but it speaks of the human heavenly. In Isaiah, we're going to see these same beasts seen with four wings. Well, we'll find out there that that's a vision of them up on earth. Doing something on earth. Remember, this is a wonderful body, and it's doing lots of different things. It's ruling and reigning with the Lord in heaven, and also it's delving out things during the millennium and all of these different things. So any time we get to the earth, you're going to see four wings because that's the earthly number. So when she is doing the things that the Lord has for her on earth, you're going to see four wings. When you're going to see in the heavens, you're going to have six. And we'll get into that a little bit more. Then you see the eyes within and without. Obviously speaks of the perfect vision. Speaks of being able to see within. Isn't that wonderful? I think of David here too. You know, search me, Lord, if there be any wicked way in me. Know my inside. And this is that vision of, you know what, Lord, I'm going to see you as you see me. I'm not going to see me as I see me. I don't want to do that anymore. How about you? It's an awful thing. I don't even want to go there. But, you know, that's when I can start condemning myself. See, these eyes will always lie to me. They will. They'll never see me as the Lord wants me to see myself. He wants me to see myself through the Word of God. He wants me to see through His eyes. He has something coming this Sunday about that, I believe, and we're going to trust Him for that. But this is a perfect vision. There's nothing lacking here. There's full faith and love within and without, behind, before. It should just full of eyes. It's wonderful. Fully serviced, she is his wife. And then the worship goes on and on and on. Every time it's so precious that we see this wonderful company. And even those 24 elders, it's wonderful too. They're worshipers. They worship the Lord. And remember what worship means. It's drawing nigh in fervent love as to kiss. I just love that. And I didn't know that word for most of my life, really what that meant here in a way. But you know what? Again, by the Spirit and by the grace of God, when I was about 17, He caused me to do that. I was going in to kiss Him. I wasn't going in there. I mean, I'm not saying it was all the time. I'm not trying to give myself a pat on the back. I want you to know that. But I knew He loved me. And He started causing my heart to love Him like that. That I just adore you, Lord. I love you. I want to be near you. Not just in your arms, I want you in my arms. See, and that's when apprehending him starts to happen. You know what I'm saying? It becomes, you know, from the child of laying in the arms. And I like to do that sometimes and continue to do that. And you know what? You're doing it all the time anyways because he never lets you go. But finally, you start growing and you turn around and you can hug. And it's just like, you know, when the baby gets old enough and they hug you, and that's a precious thing. But then they usually push away and that type of thing. But when there is a bridal embrace, it's a lasting embrace. There's nothing like that. There isn't. And this is the embrace he's calling us into, brothers and sisters. It's an exciting time, you know. And you can only give it so many words, can't you? You just got to know. Got to go there. And if you could really describe something anyways with words pretty well, it wouldn't be that precious and special. And that's why the Holy Spirit just brings it. And you just say, I know that I know. I remember that old farmer that used to say that. All right, praise God. But the worship goes on and on. And in, we already touched in Revelation 4:10, these are the kings. And it, I had to think about Saul, Brother Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, it says that he rejected the word of the Lord. See, do you remember when Saul rejected the word of the Lord? He did. And what did God do? He rejected him as king. He rejected him as king. Still his child, still part of the family. Samuel was greatly disappointed and grieved. Lord even had to get after Samuel, said, "Now you going to stop this? We got to move on, brother." You know, you don't have to worry about him. I actually love him more than you do. I never stopped loving him. He's just ornery. He didn't want the place of that king. You can't force him. You can't force me to want it. I can't force you to want it. It's too good. You know what I'm saying? Salvation, the beginning is too good. You know, if you don't want salvation, I can't understand why. But if you want to be a hard-headed knucklehead, you'll find out someday. It's like this guy was telling my wife the other day, well, you show me in the Bible, you know, because he was worried about hell. You don't have to be worried about hell. You really should be worried about the lake of fire. Hell's a bad place. I'm not, you know, recommending it to anybody. But the lake of fire? You can't even imagine. You can't even want to imagine. But see, Saul didn't want the word of the Lord. He wanted to stop. He wanted to listen to the people. He wanted to go a different way. And how that is such a type of the day and the age that we live in, brothers and sisters. And the Word of God is telling us to hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Listen to Him. It's the Word of the Lord. It's not the sacrifice, is it? Remember? See, that's what they were caught. Well, you were more caught up in the sacrifice, meaning in your service, maybe protocol or what you think needed to happen, as opposed to going back and really loving the Word of God. My Word. What do you think of that? I think it's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And man just keeps going in that circle. And sinful man returns to his vomit. We know that. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we need to really be aware of this, that we are being offered that crown. And not just offered it. Some of us, by the grace of God, are holding it. Like Saul. What will you do with it? Is the Word of God dear? Is it worth yielding and loving? And growing? Is it worth coming on a Wednesday night? Oh my goodness, Lord. Help us, huh? He's a gracious God. And oh my, what's to come. But I'm going to tell you something. These folks are not like Saul. They don't reject the word. These wonderful creatures, they come to a full knowledge of the truth. They're full of it. They're full of what you should be full of. Truth in love. Isn't that wonderful? Speaking truth in love, we know that's the vessel that possesses it. And these are the ones that wear the crown of righteousness with Paul. Brothers and sisters, in Revelation chapter 6, it goes on to say that Christ Jesus even commands judgment with the opening of the seals. We have a little bit of time. Let's read even verse 1, because it kind of repeats itself through the four different seals that are open. So chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. So here we see that it's precious that the Lord is using the bride, these four living ones, to begin to delve out the judgment, opening the seals, and that's done through the four beasts. And then even in Revelation chapter 6, verse 6, let's go ahead and read this. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say. So this is precious that Christ Jesus is ruling and reigning with these four beasts and giving commands right in the midst of them. It's this oneness that's going on, and it goes on and on. And it even gets more precious. Turn over to chapter 15. Verse 7. And these are just little highlights, brothers and sisters. We know this. We've studied this in a little bit detail. But I think that, again, when the Spirit moves, you do it. But it says here in the 7th verse, and one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. So here we have one of the four beasts giving out, again, these vials of the wrath of God. And you go into verse 16 and it talks about these vials being poured out by the angels, or these, and we know that they're not angels, but again, these are the ones that are ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus. But now it even goes from, she's commanding herself. She has been given the ability from the Lord for giving instructions for this to happen. She rules and reigns jointly with Jesus Christ. He wants this to be you. This is amazing stuff. I mean, I get excited about this because I see this world right now starting to form to become the thing that these vials will be poured out to destroy. And I'm going to be on the other end of it by the grace of God. Isn't that awesome? That's why we don't have to get excited about it, what's going on right now, in a depressed way. In a discouraged way. This has to come to pass. These things must be. They have to come. It's been sad to watch our nation over the last 40 years. Every step of the way, pretty much away from the things of God. I've seen Christians get excited about this or this or this, you know, it's not trying to find good. No, it's not. It's trying to make yourself feel good. And stop doing that. And start living, really living, according to the truth of the gospel. Just like when Brother Paul had to shake old Peter up, as we read. Come on now. The truth. Stand. Live it. Preach the word. These are the things we need to be caught up in. How many times, and I'm telling you as of late, and let it convict your heart. I don't mind talking about something maybe once in a while, I guess. Not even once in a while, but it needs to pertain to the things of the Lord. We get so politically caught up, brothers and sisters, whether it's, again, as the world would view it, positive, negative, all of these different things. We need to knock that off. That's not our life. We are seated with Him now. He wants us to take this place with Him then. But it has to be a place that we have affection for now. We go back to the wife hath made herself ready. It's not the bride has made herself ready. It's the wife. Let that speak to you, that she operates as that. And in a sense that, not again in this prideful way, this longing and yearning and thankful and grateful way, that, Lord, this is the place you want me to attain. This is the life that you want to work in me right now. And it's that love that's going to take the midst of the throne. Loving His appearing. Loving His appearing. Living, loving His appearing. Loving His appearing. That's what it is, brothers and sisters. So, He enables her fully to carry out complete judgment. Isn't that wonderful? To fulfill the Word of God. And to fulfill the will of God. And then finally, in chapter 19:4, it's the last time that we see this company referred to as the beast. You go ahead and turn over there and I'll read that with you. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. The last time you're going to hear about them. You think, oh, that's kind of sad, the last time you're going to hear about them. It's not the last time you hear about them. It's just the last time they're called this. Because in three verses, precious verses, it's wonderful. Because that same company then begins to be referred to as the Lamb's wife. And then in the 21st chapter, it jumps to the Bride of Christ and the Holy Jerusalem. And brothers and sisters, all I can say is how glorious. How about you? Amen? Let this stuff thrill you. These are things that the Lord has put there for us. And it's something to glory in. Because this is the completeness of what He's doing in our lives and how she is separate and how she is prominent. And it's nothing because of her. It's all because of Christ in her. It's Christ in her. The only good you and I got or ever will have is Christ in us. Christ in us. And Christ in you and Christ in me, by His grace, we can understand is the hope of glory. We can comprehend that. And it's becoming real. That Christ in me is the hope of glory. His glory in me is the hope of glory. She is that one that's coming down with the glory of God. And we have time to read a little bit of that. Let's go ahead. How could we even get out without that reading that? Chapter 21. Let this just speak to you, brothers and sisters. It's so wonderful. And we'll read it from the 9th verse. And there came unto me one of the 7 angels, which had the 7 vials full of the 7 last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show ye the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, brothers and sisters, why is He showing us this today? He wants us to have this vision. He wants us to see this. Just think, this was never spoken to one prophet in the Old Testament. This was never spoken to them. This is being spoken to you. He wants you to have this vision. The Spirit, the heavenly. Why does He say you're seated together with Him? Why does He say that your citizenship is there? We are without excuse. Our vision, by the grace of God, should be there. A full, exact, complete knowledge of the truth. And that's what He's given us. And I'm telling you, unless we take it and see it in spirit, we'll never really believe it. It's a fairy tale. And I'm talking to Christians. Oh, I believe in heaven. I believe in Jesus. Absolutely. Jesus is more real than anything. But brother, the things that you're speaking of, that's just, it's too much. And no, it's not. It's not. It's for you. It's for me. This is what He wants. If Jesus would appear before you, not that He could, you know that, but if He would, and you had Him say to you something to do, would you not do it if you could? And you know you'd be enabled to do it. Well, here it is. He's saying, believe me. Even those sweet disciples were told, hear ye him. I don't want you to hear anybody else. I don't want you to hear me. I want you to hear the Word of God. Hear the Word of God. Don't hear somebody because, you know, they look godly. Don't hear somebody because, you know, they've been in a pulpit or in the ministry for a long time. You don't hear anybody. You hear the Word of God. The sheep know His voice. And this is His voice. This is His Word. Listen. Listen to this. Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the angels, seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit, and actually that's spirit again, in spirit, to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. She's got it. She's got it. She's the four living ones. She's got the lion, the calf. She's got the man. She's got the eagle. That testimony is alive. It's there, the full glory of Christ. And her light. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? The sun glory light. Radiates from within. I don't want to be, no offense, I don't want to be a reflection. I don't. If you are, praise God. I'm not better, but I see something. I'm listening to something. Illuminated. Not just enlightened, but illuminated. Lit up. Gets it. Alive. Awakened to this. Radiating. And I know we can't feel in a sense this all the time, but I know it's in here. I know it's in here. There's days this body's awfully weak, just like yours. But there's a quickening going on. If we want it, there's a quickening going on. Alive. And them that are alive and remain. I'm starting to see what he said. Oh my goodness, son. I want to go the highway. But if I have to go the subway, I'll be satisfied too. But the highway is what I'm looking for. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, just like him. Clear as crystal, see right through it, because there wasn't anything of her to see except the glory of God. I know nothing else than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. How about you? Is that what they see? Is that what you want them to see? There's got to be a desire of that. That's all he asked. You willing? You willing to go? You willing to leave? I'll do the work. And then, praise God, we'll jump down to the 23rd verse, because I can't leave that without it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God, and we just read about the glory of God, didn't we? Did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. He is the light of her life. He lights her up, and she's going to come down lit up so that you can't imagine. Now, brothers and sisters, we'll only scratch the surface on this, I want you to know. But if he does give us another week, I'm looking forward, if he does tarry, to really getting into some more of the depth of the cherubims and the seraphims and the living ones in the Old Testament. There's some wonderful stuff in there. I hope you enjoy it. So praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.